Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal deputy says retained firefighters have once again been let down by government as Minister O'Brien appeals to them to back Labour Court recommendations. The chair of Donegal's JPC says the campaign to ensure the county remains a standalone Garda division continues. A Donegal TD says homeowners affected by defective blocks must be included on the implementation steering group. And a former Donegal nightclub owner who spent over 2 years in prison after being wrongfully convicted for allowing drugs to be sold in his Quigley's Point premises has died. First news this evening, the Minister for Local Government has issued a fresh appeal to retain firefighters to back Labour Court recommendations aimed at settling a long-running dispute. SIPTU is recommending its members reject the proposals in a row over working conditions. Minister Dara O'Brien insists they provide for a significant improvement to the work-life balance of retained firefighters. The Minister says their rejection would only serve to further entrench positions and make a resolution to this dispute more complex and difficult to achieve. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says members of the force have once again been let down by government.
Brian just hasn't stepped up on this issue. Hasn't honoured commitments that he had made. I think the public have become aware over the last while just how bad the conditions are for our retained firefighters. You know, they're paid very poorly. They're expected to be on standby, for the nearly every day of the year within a few kilometres of the fire station. And this has been going on for years. It's conditions that come, back to the 1950s. So we need a serious engagement from government. We need respect and dignity for our firefighters, and we need the minister to get his act together.
And although the retained firefighters felt they were left with no other option but to engage in industrial action, nobody wants that again.
Not at all. I mean, and I can tell you that the firefighters that I've been speaking to in Donegal and down the country, the last thing they want to do is go on strike. And this is not what they ever signed up for. They've agonised about it. But they have no choice. They've been let down again and again and again. Promise after promise has been broken. And, they're working in impossible conditions. I think the only good that came out of the recent strikes is that the public became aware for the first time just how bad the conditions are for our local firefighters, just how impossible the demand on their family life is, and how their decency and their sense of public commitment has been taken for granted for far too long.
The chair of Donegal's Joint Policing Committee says the campaign to ensure the county remains a standalone Garda division continues, and he remains hopeful the decision to merge Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim will be abandoned. Councillor Dermot Monaghan says there is a need for a coordinated response to what he described as a small but worrying trend of crime in Letterkenny, including some violent incidents which have been videoed and circulated. He says Gardaí, the council and business and community representatives all have a role to play and stress that by and large Letterkenny is a safe and vibrant town in which to live, work and do business. He says Gardaí have had some success but need the resources to do more.
I would like to commend the guards for their quick action, because in two of the instances that we're probably talking about, the people involved in that have been brought to court and are now facing criminal charges. And that's to be very much welcome. And what we want, and from discussions we've been having with the Gardaí in the chamber, is a bigger presence, more foot patrols, Gardaí more accessible, being seen on the streets, so that people feel safe. I know from talking to Gardaí, they are under pressure, and we have to say that. There's no other way to describe it. They don't have enough Gardaí, they don't have enough vehicles, and it's a battle every day for the Gardaí to put that out on the street and they ensure that there's adequate policing. But I have to say, with the resources that they have, that they're doing the best that they possibly can. But we have made it clear, and we had the commissioner up here, and we pointed out the difficulties that we're having in Donegal and have been for a long time, the need for more resources and all the different aspects of that, being close to 93% of our border with the north. We have ports, we have airports. It's a very geographically widespread area. The next part, the new operating model, it's not going to work. And Donegal needs to be a standalone division. And we're making that case very forcefully with the commissioner. Indeed, yesterday was raised with the policing authority at a meeting that I was at with PPM members in Carrick and Shannon.
The Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District, meanwhile, is urging people, rather than sharing videos of criminal incidents online, to contact Gardaí in the first instance. There has been a steady increase in people sharing footage of fights online in recent years. Councillor Michael McLafferty fears the sharing of the content could hamper the judicial process.
I believe, Greg, the videos of this nature is not helping matters, to be quite honest with you. I believe in some instances it's possibly actually fueling the fire as such. For example, if somebody's a video of a fight or a crime or whatever, my opinion on it would be, and my personal opinion would be, is your first port of call is your local Garda station, and let them take it from there. Because I just feel that the more it's been shared, the more it's been viewed, it's only causing problems going forward. Also as well, I would have a fear as well. I have wondered about these cases now over the last while, not isolated to the Kenny now, but just these types of cases in general that have, no, well, some have happened in the Kenny, they're happening all over the place and then they end up on social media. But I do wonder what happens when the day comes, if and when these people end up in court then. Is there going to be an argument then that their rights were violated then because they were videoed and so on without their consent? Does it fall between two stools under data protection? I know something that may need to be thrashed out yet, but that's my fear about it.
A Donegal TD says homeowners affected by defective blocks must be included on the implementation steering group, which is to be established to work through issues as they arise in the new redress scheme. In a submission to an Oireachtas Housing Committee at which the defective blocks issue was discussed, Deputy Joe McHugh welcomed the establishment of the group but stressed the need for the voice of homeowners to be included. Deputy McHugh told the committee that based on his ministerial experience, the biggest risk is that officials now regard the issue as having been addressed and then move on to something else. That, he said, cannot be allowed to happen.
The implementation steering group will be tasked with working through issues as they arise and making recommendations if further changes to the regulations or guidelines are needed. I think it's obvious this scheme is going to evolve. It has to evolve because there's plenty of shortcomings. And while on the other hand, I do understand the fact that we have to have a scheme and we have to try to get it moving, but there's so many areas that needs to be addressed here. My suggestion on that implementation steering group, that you actually have the voice of the homeowners. Let them decide who should those individuals should be on that implementation steering group. If you're going to have 6 month intervals and producing reports, that voice has to be there. Because one of the big failings of this whole campaign was the communication around that, where the voice of the homeowners didn't feel part of the solution. And that creates antagonism, that creates bad feeling, and that creates vacuum. And my fear, in my brief knowledge of being in different departments, is once a box is ticked, once a scheme is introduced, you're so busy in your world and you have so much going on and you have so many housing issues and all that, that bit's done. Let's move on. We can't allow that to happen with this scheme, because this scheme is not the scheme. It's too complex. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too varied, it's too challenging. I'm asking for the voice of the homeowner to be represented on that implementation committee. It's great to hear Dr. Paul Dunlop is represented on the Technical Matter Steering Group. That's really, really important. It's important that the public know that as well.
The Taoiseach just says he expects more revelations will probably come to light in the wake of the RTE payments controversy. RTE's new Director General Kevin Backhurst yesterday announced an external review into voluntary redundancy schemes which took place at the organisation in 2017 and 2021. Mr. Backhurst says the scope of the review will be announced as soon as possible. Micheál Martin says the corporation needs space to carry out the review and outlined his thoughts on the future structure of RTE.
We need a very strong governance at the centre within RTE, clear lines of responsibility and accountability. In many respects, something akin to the RTE authority of old, and that the executives then are answerable to that authority, and that there's clear transparency and accountability in terms of how RTE conducts its business. It's very important for all of us because public service broadcasting is very important.
A Donegal priest says a fact-based sex education system based on fact is vitally important and must have respect at its core. However, speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Father John Joe Duffy said parents should be given the right to opt out from the programme being taught in schools. The Friday panel today were discussing the new Leaving Cert sex education curriculum, which it suggested will normalise lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and other LGBTQ plus identities, relationships and families, rather than marginalising them in standalone lessons. The government's curriculum advisors say the approach to to be taken with students will be inclusive, underpinned by the principles of equality, human rights and responsibilities. Father John Joe Duffy says parents are the primary educators and that must be respected.
Parents are the primary educators until someone is 18 years of age. And I think that there should be opt-outs for parents who do not wish to have their children involved in the present education, but that there should be a system of sex education put in place for all children, be that the parents doing it, be that it done in the schools or whatever the case may be.
A former Donegal nightclub owner who spent over 2 years in prison after being wrongfully convicted for allowing drugs to be sold in his Quigley's Point premises has died. Frank Short of the Old Rectory Clare Redcastle was jailed in 1995 and he was framed by Gardaí. He was released in 1998 before his name was cleared in 2002. In 2005, he was awarded almost €2 million in damages by the High Court. Later, when he appealed the amount to the Supreme Court, it was more than doubled to over €4 million. A Stanishella rain warning has been narrowed to the northern half of the country. It covers Cavan, Monaghan, Connacht, Longford, Louth, Meath, Westmeath until 7 p.m. with heavy rain possible with the chance of flooding. Another warning for Donegal runs until midnight. Matthew Martin from Met Éireann outlines why Donegal has been separated in the alerts.
The rain arrives a little bit later in Donegal and it will persist until midnight, that heavy rain in Donegal, and obviously there'll be the risk of some localised flooding and difficult travelling conditions in Donegal this evening.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Jordan McDade.
We start with football. In the SSE Tristy League First Division tonight, 9th place Finn Harps host 3rd place Cove Ramblers. Play will go ahead despite the heavy rainfall in the county. Harps will have a host of new signings and will be hoping to build on last week's scoreless draw against Bray. Cove are looking to extend their unbeaten run to 6 games. Former Harps player and underage manager Joe Boyle give his insight on how Harps can get a result.
Well, I think Dave will be certainly looking to get us to again, knowing the players an extra week, where he's certainly, you see the patterns of play there last week where they were starting to look to play and move things quicker and get the ball into the front players. And again, you know, Harps now have had a little bit of pace in the team and a bit of trickery in the team as well. So he'll be certainly looking to do that. You know, if he can get Hutchinson in there, get Stephen Doherty in there and get them on the ball and getting them forward. And again, you know, when you look at Ferry and you look at BJ Banda and Stokey as well, you'd be looking for them to provide a couple of chances there and maybe this week take a...
Dermot Doherty will have live updates from 8 p.m. Elsewhere, Athlone are at home to Galway, Bray meet Wexford and Treaty United versus Waterford has been called off due to the weather. There are only 2 games in the Premier Division. Shelburne host Bohemians, with UCD taking on Drogheda United. In international football, Ireland have been hit with a massive blow to their World Cup preparations less than a week out from the tournament. Vieira Pau's side played Colombia in a friendly this afternoon, but the game had to be abandoned following serious injuries to midfielder Denise O'Sullivan. The North Carolina Courage player had been taken to hospital with an injured shin. Ireland are due to kick off their World Cup campaign when they play against the host, Australia, next Thursday. Switching to local football, Bunnygee Ladies will play their first ever National Cup final tomorrow at Eamon DC Park in Galway. The Letterkenny side face Dublin's Chinner Rangers in the decider of the FAI Women's Amateur Cup. Bunnygee goalkeeping coach and former Fannagh United and Finn Harps player Bosco Gallagher says it's a huge occasion for the club.
It's a great boost for the club to be like it's an intermediate final, it's a national final, and national finals don't come along too easy or too often, and it's a huge achievement for the ladies and the girls and the squad and for the Bunnygee club in general. It's fantastic, you know, the way the club is moving forward. Finals can be strange games. It's all about on the day getting settled into it, getting playing. But we've always said to the girls, go out, number one, enjoy it. Trust yourself and come off the pitch and be able to say, I did my best. And that's all you can ask. And hopefully, and if we play to our ability and our capabilities, it will take a good side to beat us.
There will be regular match updates on Highland from 2 p.m. kickoff. in the Donegal GAA County League's Senior Hurling Championship returns to action as Adra Ballyshannon hosts Dunloe, Burt travel to Setanta, Sean McCool's welcome Buncrana, and Karen Dona travel to St Eunan's. In the Junior Hurling Championship, Burt go to Setanta, McCool's go to St Eunan's, and Letterkenny Gales welcome Four Masters. Staying with Gaelic football, on Sunday, Donegal welcomed Dublin as they come to Balbuffet for the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Quarter-Final. Donegal's ladies manager, Maxie Kern, spoke about his preparation heading into this weekend's match.
Ah, look, it's lovely. It's a great time, you know, when you're coming off the back of a couple of big victories like we have had, you know, the Ulster final put us in a great stead, really turned our season around. And, you know, in the same going to Navan last week to play Meath, you know, nobody gave us much of a prayer going into the game. And it was very enjoyable. We've had our issues with Meath over the last couple of years, and they've helped us a number of times in big games and that. So it was really enjoyable to get over the line. And I think the girls deserve huge credit for the way they have turned it around. And, you know, now they're able to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Meath, you know, after the league campaign that we've had. So, it's all good. And we're really enjoying it at the moment.
There will be full live commentary on Highland from the 2 p.m. start with Oisin Kelly and Maureen O'Donnell in association with Henry McGinley and Sons Limited Milford. The weekend also sees two semi-finals in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, with Dublin facing Monaghan at Croke Park tomorrow and Kerry taking on Derry at the GAA headquarters on Sunday. In cricket, the Interprovincial T20 Trophy match between Northwest Warriors and Munster Reds has been called off due to heavy rain. Also, Leinster Lightning and Northern Knights was abandoned earlier today. Tomorrow, play will resume with Northwest Warriors playing Munster Reds and Northern Knights in play against Leinster Lightning. To rugby now, as the Ireland's under-20s date with Destiny is just an hour away, Richie Murphy's side take on France in Cape Town in the final of the World Under-20 Championship. The Ireland side has just one change from the semi-final win over South Africa, with James McNabee back from suspension. France are unchanged from their win over England. Prop Paddy McCarthy doesn't believe Ireland will be overawed with the occasion.
We just got quite disciplined with our training, so we're kind of like a machine at this point. So everyone just does their jobs and cracks on with it. So it's been good in that regard. So I think the lads are handling it well enough.
Roy McIlroy is just a shot off the lead on day two of the Scottish Open. He's 10 under with 5 to play. Byung-hun Un leads on 11 under. Elsewhere, a second round 66 will see Padraig Harrington go into the weekend on 7 under par. Shane Lowry dragged himself back into contention on 5 under following a 64, and Tom McKibben is just above the Project Cup mark on 2 under par. To tennis, Novak Djokovic is through to a 9th Wimbledon men's singles final. The defending champion beat Jannik Sinner 6-3, 6-4 and 7-6 this afternoon. Djokovic will play either Carlos Alcaraz or Daniil Medvedev in Sunday's final. They're up next on Centre Court. Finally, one of the biggest events in the Irish athletics calendar takes place this evening as the Morton Games returns to a new look Morton Stadium in Santry. The men's 800 looks set to be one of the races of the night as European bronze medalist Mark English of Finn Valley AC returns to the meet. He will face off against John Fitzmans, who is the Irish leader this season after a superb 1 minute 45.66 season's best in France last weekend. There's some more Donegal interest at the Morton Games with additional Finn Valley AC athletes competing. Oisin Gallen runs the 5K. Summer Lackey takes on the high jump. Also, James Kelly and Gavin McLaughlin compete in the shot put. That's your sport.
Thanks, Jordan. And returning to some news, Ireland is at risk of breaking its carbon budget limit as emissions fell by only 2% last year. In the electricity sector, an annual reduction of 17% is now required over the next 3 years to stay within budget. The Environmental Protection Agency is blaming the government over a lack of pace in delivering agreed actions. Environmental journalist John Gibbons says Ireland is lagging behind in all target areas.
So now to 2030, in other words, for our 2025 budget, we're going to require emissions cuts of the order of 12% per annum over the next 2 years. So nothing like that has ever been achieved in history. Not even COVID gave us emissions cuts on that line. So essentially, we're far behind across pretty much all our target areas.
Five people have been arrested in relation to a number of reports of bogus charity collectors targeting members of the public across Northern Ireland recently, including in Omagh. Following a search of a car in Armagh yesterday morning, a number of items including clipboards were seized, and four men aged 30, 33, 39 and 48 and one woman aged 30 were arrested on suspicion of fraud by false representation. They remain in police custody at this time. Police are advising people to be vigilant. Weather now, rain will continue this evening and it will stay quite breezy. Rain will clear to isolated showers later in the night with lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The Minister for Local Government has issued a fresh appeal to retain firefighters to back Labour Court recommendations aimed at settling a long-running dispute. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, however, says members of the force have once again been let down by government. The chair of Donegal's JPC says the campaign to ensure the county remains a standalone Garda division continues, and he remains hopeful the decision to merge Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim will be abandoned. Councillor Jerry McMonagle says there is a need for a coordinated response to what he described as a small but worrying trend of crime in Letterkenny, including some violent incidents which have been videoed and circulated. A Donegal TD says homeowners affected by defective blocks must be included on the implementation steering group which is to be established to work through issues as they arise in the new redress scheme. In a submission to an Oireachtas Housing Committee at which the defective blocks issue was discussed, Deputy Joe McHugh welcomed the establishment of the group but stressed the need for the voice of homeowners to be included. And a Donegal priest says a fact-based sex education system is vitally important and must have respect at its core. However, speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Father John Joe Duffy said parents should be given the right to opt out from the programme being taught in schools. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nuacht with Colm Ferriter, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Jimmer Natashev, Colm Ferriter and Chot and the Priest Guilty. Curran Gail Lynn Falcher of a Hurumi and Fobble Fui Kijan Doyle and a Lippage Kyola Urbert. To Gail Lynn a Kelleru Sharshwa Bliana o Hus Factus Curran Kim Nigeliga August and Coulter Imliana o Nija Quigus a Sharty Lai. To catalog Kumtsiha Kurha Likele Egan Agriot. The Kjol tradition to Agus Araniacht, Le Clanad, Grania Holland, Agus Scara Bray, a mask, Aliantori, Tafada, Erin Lipid. Merk Hodgda Avretnu at her Ejer Leva a Gailin, Bawailofa, Turami a Walu, Kajan Doi, Nadoyan if we like, Concurlation, Bonacher, Tafage, Niwar Refush to Kjolo, Hig Olus a Gailin Bonkai, Leve Parcha. Curhurtus le fla olu and Jerry Shakton yasha in Ramwars and Conda Heroin, Ariha eg occultus kyotri erin, agus run nanalin, maiter gumme and anela marin helluru culture tradition to ismo, erin elure, le clar kemsiha de emakti lyaka hama, don shakton shahogin. The jeshin occurred her foil, a frastaler session to kyol, agus emakti stara. August culture tradition to Nachira of Lasu. Gaholus eg Ulster fla bonkai e. August to emakti broad negiltuk to Clahanili fogurhe dun shakton shaw. And a mask cardlan filiokta and a nyatter flay hemi August our fuilai. A new lajeg renal hara. Gaholus eg broad negiltuk to bonkai e. August to grupa tishmahori August tahran a rakta le glor negil lena go shaktonul. Togan and Grupa Jesh Chartle Kele Gak Hedin Lahe Koludur Kora Agus Korlia Leve Ran Parchihe to tell you eg Glorningale Bonkai E. Shin Mohodsha Elig Gulier Slanagus Bannock.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, July the 14th. The death has taken place of Ignatius Farn, Convent Road, Carndonagh. Reposing at his son John's home, Glasha Carndonagh, this evening from 8 o'clock. Removal from there on Sunday afternoon at 12:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for funeral mass at 1 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Terence Coyle, 63, Milbrae, Buncrana, reposing at his late home from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Sunday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Ward 50, Alton and Galvin Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Frank Short at the old rectory, Clare Redcastle. Frank's remains will be reposing at his late residence. House private, please. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Drum, Quigley's Point, followed by private cremation. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv. And the death has taken place of Joanne Hegarty, Dristernan, Glenealy. Joanne's remains will leave Liam Collins' funeral premises this evening at 6 o'clock going to her home. Family time only from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of her funeral. Joanne's funeral mass will take place on Sunday at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Bogan Kildaff, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Joanne's funeral mass can be viewed live on kildaffparish.com. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.